Good morning. Good. So before we go inside, the last time we started the new parasha, Parasha Shlach, the whole story of the Meraglim, but I just want to share something, not before. It's not on the computer, but you have in front of you just a single piece. You see this one? This first one. So I just want to show you something very nice here. This is a piece from the Gemara, just a few lines that we'll see. It'll connect beautifully to the whole story, and in a minute I'll tell you why I specifically want to share this. But in this part of the Gemara, it's sharing different stories that happened with one of the great Tanoim named Rabba Bar Bar Chana. That was his name. I guess his mother was Chana and he was Rabba. And he met an Arab somewhere who was very clever, and there's a lot of stories with their encounters. So this is one of the stories. I just want to show you. I'll show you one that's not connected, then I'll show you the one that's connected. See, it says the 11th story, so a lot of different incidents happened. The 11th story said, and Rabba Bar Bar Chana said, once we were going in the desert and a certain Arab merchant accompanied us. He would take earth from the ground, smell it, and would declare, this is the way to such and such a place. And this is the way to such and such a place. We said to him, how far are we from water? So he replied to us, give me some earth. We gave him. He smelled it. And he told us that we were at a distance of 8 parsa'is from water. Then later we repeated the procedure at a different place and again gave him some earth. This time he said to us that we are at a distance of 3 parsa'is. In other words, he could smell, he knew exactly where everything was from the smell of the earth. He had an interesting type of GPS. I switched around, he says, the samples of earth that were given to him in order to test him, but I could not best him. In other words, whatever I did, he knew exactly where the earth was from and how far it was. So just one interesting story. So this Arab obviously was a very, had a lot of insight and had many, and a lot of knowledge about different matters, especially things in the desert. So now, the story that's connected to us is the 12th story. Just a few lines. It says like this. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said, the Arab merchant said to me, Ta achve la meisei midbar. Come, I will show you those that died during the 40 years of wandering in the desert. So he says, I went and I saw them. This is what Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said. I saw them. I don't know what that means. Are they not buried properly? I'm not sure exactly. And he said something fascinating. He says, Vidamu kiman de mibasmi. And they looked as if they were intoxicated. Now, the Rashba says, what does that mean? I mean, these people have passed on many, many, many years before Rabba Bar Bar Chana. We're talking over 1,500 years. It's a long time. So it says that their complexion was still like that kind of bright, fresh complexion, like somebody who is drunk. That's what they looked like. Whatever this means practically, but somehow he saw. So these are the people who we're talking about. Some were the Meraglim, some were the people themselves, the Jewish people who they represented, who died in the desert not wanting to go, not going into the land of Israel. Okay, I just want to share a beautiful concept. What does this mean? Sounds so strange. They look like they were intoxicated. What does that mean, they're intoxicated? So there's this week, actually, so the reason I'm sharing this is connected to our topic, but this week on Chof Av, which is the 20th of Av, today's the 18th of Av, Wednesday is the 20th of Av. It's a very auspicious day in the Hasidic calendar. It's the Lubavitcher Rebbe's father's yard site, Rebbe Levi Yitzchak. And Rebbe Levi Yitzchak actually had quite a tragic end. He died in Kazakhstan, in Almaty. He was sent first, he was in prison, and then he was sent out to exile because of his activities in Russia during the communist time. He was never rescued, not unlike the Rebbe's father-in-law, who was rescued. He was never. So he served his time, and then after he got really, really sick, and he actually died there. In Kazakhstan, he's buried there in Almaty, which is, who knows where, middle of nowhere. Anyway, so he was a man who lived with incredible Mesiras Nefesh. He was a rabbi in a very big city, and led his flock as much as he could during the communists when they outlawed everything. But besides for being an incredible leader and a person who inspired and also practical, like there was the stories of how he got matzah for Pesach for everybody, even though it was outlawed and all the different things he arranged, he was also an incredibly very, 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 very known Torah scholar. And one of his things that he was an expert in was in the Zohar. And he actually had things that he wrote. So now when he was in exile in Kazakh, in all these different places, he didn't have paper, he didn't have pen, he didn't have anything. So one of the things that the Rebbe told over was that his mother joined his father for some of the time, and she would go out to the field and find different herbs that she would make into some form of ink so that his father could write down on the edges of like the few svarim that he had that he managed to take with him, whatever it was, not very many, two or three. So he wrote on the edges of the paper, and that's what they were able to get out afterwards and have a little bit left of some of his teachings. Now, many of the things that he taught, as I said, is on the Zohar. Beautiful, beautiful, deep ideas. And I just want to share a small one that's based on this little piece that we just read. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana saw these people that were dead in the desert, and they looked like they were intoxicated. So he says, what does this mean? So the big question we all have, right? Now, when we read, yeah, it's interesting, because when we read the story, we know we're going to address this question over and over. But the big question we all have is, these are people who have just experienced the leaving of Egypt, the splitting of the sea, the revelation of Har Sinai, all the miracles, the man. How could it be that they doubted that they would be able to enter Eretz Yisrael? Why don't they have a stronger faith? Why don't they believe stronger? Why don't they have a stronger trust in Hashem if they experienced such incredible miracles? This is a very difficult thing for us to grapple with. Why were they so afraid to enter the land of Israel, right? And we know that there are many different angles and different ways, and we'll explore it today. So he says something beautiful. He says that if you look at the names of the, this is actually in the Gemara, the names of the people who were the Meraglim, right? It lists them. So, yeah, interesting. So I'll just read you one of them. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says the name of the one who was representing the tribe of Ashur, his name is Sisur ben Michael. Sisur ben Michael. Sisur, well, it doesn't give a translation, but the Gemara says something in the names, there are hints to some of the problems that they contained. Sisur means to contradict, like a stira, right? To contradict. So his name is Sisur ben Michael. So the Rebbe's father says like this, if you take the name Sisur ben Michael, the first letters of each of, like in other words, if you take the acronym Samach and then the Beis and then the Mem, so it's a bit, you have to scramble it, you make the word Baisem. That's the same word the Gemara used for intoxicated. Baisem is a wine. So in his name, you can already see the clue to the fact that they were intoxicated. But what does intoxicated mean? What does that have to do with anything? So he explains, when you think about it, what does it mean when somebody's drunk? When somebody's drunk, what it usually means is that they lose touch with their rational side, right? A person is extremely, that's what happens. A person becomes very passionate, very emotional, and there's no rational. The mind is gone. So a spiritual intoxication would be if somebody, or an emotional intoxication could be if somebody is so passionate about something and become so involved in something that they cannot see it in a rational way. They're just overwhelmed and that's why you're intoxicated. It's like a little bit of wine is good, but too much is no good, right? You say the first cup is fine. After that, it's not all right already. Why? Because then it starts to interfere with how you operate. So if you become so involved emotionally, so intoxicated with the thing that you want, the love that you have for whatever it may be, it might be a good thing, but if it's too much, that's called intoxicated. What happened to the Jewish people in the desert? So this is like in a nutshell, and we'll explore it more, but we know that they were living the life. They were living the life that they can sit and learn. They didn't, as we said many times, the water was supplied, the food was supplied, the laundry was done. And they had had an amazing teacher, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen. So they were sitting and learning Torah day in and day out, living a life of incredible spiritual high. And they became intoxicated in that spiritual high to the point that they couldn't, they were just too intoxicated that they couldn't see that there is a plan, there is a purpose, and there is actually a guidance, and there is a something that Hashem wants from them. And what is that? He wants them not only to live a life of, you know, spiritual high, but to actually live a life in this world. To go into the land of Israel, as we know, and to work the land, and to work with people, and to actually bring godliness into the world. So they were so intoxicated in their passionate love of Hashem, and their, well, it was their own pleasure, actually, unfortunately, that they didn't see that Hashem wanted something else from them. And that's actually hinted to also in that word sisur. Sisur means stira, contradict. What did he contradict? He became so intoxicated that he contradicted the will of Hashem. The only will that he was able to feel was his own, right? That's what it means. It means you become drunk in your own desire. Nothing else existed, even if it was a good one. But it was misplaced at the time. Hashem wanted them to go into the land. And that's, you can see the hint already right at the beginning, just even in one of the names. So this is the baisem, this is the intoxication. Now it's not terrible. Sometimes we say halavai, that we should feel so, you know, so motivated by being spiritually high. But as we know, and this is the very beautiful idea, we have it all the time. There's Shabbos and there's the week. So we all want Shabbos. We all yearn. Shabbos is beautiful. Who doesn't want to go to shul? And who doesn't want to be inspired? Of course, it's fantastic. But we know that there is only one day of Shabbos and 6 days of the week. So you have to take what we gain from Shabbos and bring it back into the week. If we just make Shabbos every day, we won't be doing what we're meant to be doing. So that's the same idea. Okay, just a small thing. All right, let's go back now. Now I'd like to... Oh, good morning, Chana. Shechana's there too. Hi, Batsheva. Okay, anyways, good morning, everybody. So now I'm going to share the screen, and we are in... We're in the... As we said, we started. We read some of the psukim. So what I'm going to do today is... We might end up reading some of the psukim again, but before we do that, I would like to explore on the first pasuk the commentaries. So I hope it'll be all right. Okay, so let me share this here. We're gonna share the screen and I didn't number your pages, but if you can see, you know, I'll count it in your booklet. It'll be the first 1, 2, 3, 4 pages is the art scroll, right? If you go to the fifth page in your booklet, that looks like this. It's the one with the commentaries. So, let me find it here.
The sixth?
May 5th, I think. I think it's number 5. Let's see. And we are going to look at the Sfarim. Do you see that in the middle? I know my, yeah, that's it. Thank you, Riva. It looks like that. And in the middle, there is a Sfarnu there, it says. It's close to the bottom is the Ramban, and then on top of that. And so first, I'd like to see how the... It's the same question all the commentaries will ask, each one looking at it from their own angle. And this is only the beginning. So let's start with this. So we said, Shlach Lecha Anoshim. We said right away last week that it's a very funny language to use, Shlach Lecha, because that sounds like Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, send for yourself, right? It's implying almost that if you want to, do it on your own. I'm not necessarily stamping approval. It's not clear. What does Shlach Lecha Anoshim mean? So each one will give its own way of looking at it. We know as the story unfolded, the Jewish people approached Moshe. We know that's definitely the story. And then he agreed. So the question is, did he agree willingly? Did he feel compelled? What was this agreement? And what went so wrong? I mean, that's the big question, right? And as we know, very important thing to know about the word Shlach Lecha Anoshim, the word Anoshim, just to highlight again, means men that were tzaddikim, right? They were great men. Moshe Rabbeinu chose men who he thought were righteous, right? Because he didn't want this plan to go wrong. It went wrong, but that's not what the idea was. It wasn't meant to happen. So let's see how the Sfarnu. So the Sfarnu says like this, Shlach Lecha Anoshim. Al taniach, this is Hashem speaking to Moshe, al taniach sheyishlechu heim, don't leave it that the Jewish people should send, k'maisha amru lasos ba'amram, like it says that they said to say, in other words, when Moshe Rabbeinu repeated the story in Chumash Devarim, so he tells over, that's where we find more details, nishlecha noshim lefaneinu, right, the Jewish people came to Moshe and they said, let us send men in front of us, right, let us send men that will go and spy the lands. Hashem says, no, no, no. Don't let them be in charge of the project, and don't let them choose the representatives. Why? So he says, Shema yishlechu hedyotais, maybe they will send ordinary, simple people, bilti makirim shevach haaretz, the ones who are not refined enough to recognize the praise, the greatness of the land, v'yisperu b'gnusa, and they'll tell it its negativity. So those people, ordinary people who don't know how to discern what's really good, will come back and give an ordinary report and maybe a bad report, and that won't be good. But in a way that will make the Jewish people think that Hashem is leading them astray, that he's taking them into an ordinary country. Now, before we go further, something interesting though. So it seems to be from the Svarnu that Hashem wants Moshe to choose the Meraglim. Why? To prevent something negative from happening. So Moshe chose, but something negative happens anyway, right? So what's the difference? Why couldn't Hashem just let it unfold where the Jewish people themselves chose whoever they want to represent, and it would have anyways been a disaster, which it was anyway. So the Svarnu says something quite magnificent that we might not have realized unless we look deeper. We think of it as a total disaster, but he finds something amazing. He says like this, V'loy yashuvu b'tshuva k'moy sheshavu achar kach. It wasn't a total disaster, because the truth is that as soon as they made the mistake here, they realized, and they did do tshuva. They didn't go into the land, we'll see in a minute why, but they realized that they made a mistake. The only reason that they had the ability to do tshuva, according to the Svarnu, is because Moshe chose the right men. Let's see how that works. So he says, like this, they said, how do we know they did tshuva? Because they said, chatanu l'Hashem, we sinned to Hashem. The ones that Moshe Rabbeinu chose, afal pi shehirshiu lahani leiv ha'am mechesren emunasam, even though they taka did something very bad, because they melted the hearts of the people from their lack of faith, right, in Kel Shakai, so they made the people afraid. Mikol Mokai, nevertheless, he kiru, they recognized, visipru, and they told over, Tovas Haaretz, the good of the land. But Amram, and how do we see it? Because what did they say? V'gam zavos chalav udvashi, that it's a land flowing with milk and honey. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu chose people who did come back recognizing that the land is a good land, told it over to the people, and that's why afterwards they did do tshuva. V'chein heid, and it's also testified when he said in Dvarim, v'yikhu biyodam, right, what did they do, the Meraglim? What did they take? They took some of the fruits. They wanted to show the people, to get them excited. This is a land worth going into. And they said, the land is good. But what did they say? They said, we won't be able to conquer it. But they didn't say it was a bad land. They said it was an amazing land. As soon as the Jewish people realized their mistake, that they didn't trust, and they didn't have enough faith, enough trust in the salvation of Hashem, and the ability of Hashem, after he had done so many miracles for them, so as soon as they realized, shavu b'tshuva, then they taka did do tshuva. V'amru chatanu l'Hashem, and we sinned. Anachnu na'ale v'nilchameinu. Right? Remember they said, we didn't get to that, but they wanted so much to go in. They said, let's go up, we'll fight now, right? And some of them unfortunately did the wrong thing. But they were immediately caught themselves, and they wanted to go in. V'hispalalu, and they davened. Ka'amrei v'tashuvu v'tivchu l'fnei Hashem. Right? That they did tshuva, and they cried before Hashem. But we know they didn't. Hashem didn't accept their tshuva. Ela shalai kibel akel yisbarach tefillah. So Hashem didn't accept their tefillah. Why? Mipnei chilul Hashem. This is interesting. Some of us think, why didn't Hashem let the people go in? Because they didn't trust him, so it was bad. No, it wasn't. It's true, the lack of trust is a problem. But the bigger thing was that they caused a tremendous desecration of Hashem's name. It was done so publicly. And because of that, even though their tshuva is accepted, they cannot go into Eretz Yisrael, because if you make a Chilul Hashem, the way your tshuva is accepted is through tshuva and then the death that you have. After you die, then you're forgiven. So they needed to go through this process and they couldn't go into the land. So you see, very interesting, just underneath the surface, if we think it's an absolute disaster, it's not a total disaster. And the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu chose them was something positive in there, caused them afterwards to do tshuva. So that's how you can see something. It's just an interesting way of looking at it. Okay. Sorry, it's going to be a lot inside today. But no, now go to the next page. The next page of your booklet has an Orach Chaim HaKadosh. And this one, the Orach Chaim is spread over a few pages, but we'll try to follow. Very interesting. Because the Orach Chaim has a very fascinating approach. Yeah, it's the next page. And you can see it's in big in the middle Orach Chaim. Do you see there? I think I might have circled. Do you see that little beis is circled there in the middle? Yeah, Orach Chaim. And then there's a little circle in the middle there, beis, shlach l'cha anoshim. Yes, so there's where we're going to see something magnificent here. So he has a fascinating view of what took place. Now, again, we're going to see it how it, let's imagine, there's Moshe Rabbeinu, there's the Jewish people, they're supposed to enter Eretz Yisrael, and now the Jewish people are approaching Moshe. Okay, so let's imagine it all happening in front of us. What is everybody thinking? What's going through everybody's mind? What's motivating everybody to do what they're doing as it plays out? So the Orach Chaim says like this. First of all, he wants to understand. Tzarich ladas oimrim l'cha. First of all, we have to understand why the pasuk says l'cha. Shlach l'cha, send for yourself. What is this l'cha? For Rabbi Seinu zechreinu l'vracha amru l'datcha. So our rabbis explain, l'cha means what you think, right? According to your opinion, Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem says, what you think. Ani eina mitzavcha, I don't command you. V'kasha, so it's difficult. Lama yaskim Hashem al hara asher diber lasay simay. Why is Hashem agreeing? Why doesn't Hashem stop it right here? Because if Hashem would have said to Moshe, no, it's not a good idea, he wouldn't have sent them. Yeah, it would have finished over before it started. Could have avoided everything. But he doesn't. Hashem doesn't prevent the bad. Why? Why does Hashem almost agree? He doesn't say, I want to send, but he says, you can send if you want. So that's like giving Moshe the choice. Why does he do that? And then he says like this. So go to the next paragraph. Ula havin ha'inyan. So to understand this, A'ir bedavar, I will enlighten you about the matter. Mi beten mi yotza hakerach, from the stomach of who has come out this ice, meaning the disaster. So he's saying, where did it come from? What's the seed of the disaster that unfolds? So he says like this, Hara'a hagdayla hanisveves meha miraglim, the terrible bad that was caused through the miraglim, that came about through the miraglim. So im mitzad ha-maise, so if you analyze it and you think, well, it's just the action, the fact that they went in and were spying the land. He says, ein bayra, no, that wasn't a bad thing at all. And how do we know that it wasn't a bad thing? We know it for sure is not a bad thing, because even after this story, right, that's the Haftarah of Parsha Shlach, what does it say? Ki haloi matzinu shekmai kein shalach Yehoshua beiz anoshim. Afterwards, it's not like nobody else sent spies. Yehoshua sent spies, right? No, he sent Kalev and Pinchas. So obviously sending spies is not a bad thing, because after this whole debacle, Yeshua still does it. So that's not the problem. And v'yir gelu haaretz, right? They will spy out the land. In kenein adavar mechor mitzad atzma. So that means the thing is not terrible on its own. It's not a bad act. V'im mitzad ha'anoshim ha'meraglim shahayu rishayim. And if you say the problem is he picked, the thing is not bad, but he picked the wrong people, the meraglim were bad. If you say that, halay matzinu shenifchuru al pi Hashem. No, these people, according to almost all opinions, were not bad people. They were good people, and they were chosen by Moshe, but inspired by Hashem, who knows what's going on inside somebody. He knows what's in their heart. He knows that they're genuinely good people. The Heyda Kosev Aleim, and the Pasuk actually testifies and says, Kulam Anoshim. And we know Anoshim means Tzadikim. These are righteous people. So that's not the problem. So what is the problem? So now we have to take a step back. And we know, we've already seen that, because we've learned a lot of the stories that happened in the desert, that there are different groups amongst the Jewish people, right? So most of the Jewish people are okay, and most of their intention is okay, but there are always, unfortunately, those groups that don't have such good intentions. So let's see how it plays out. So he says, on the top of the next column, Ochen yizba'er ha'davar, al-pi divrehem. So we'll understand this according to the words of what Chazal tell us in the Medrash, she'amru v'zel l'shoinam, b'tchila, at the beginning, niskaptsu etzel meishe. So he describes like the way it unfolded, that they gathered in front of Moshe l'shloach ha-meraglim v'loy ratza, to send meraglim, and Moshe said, no, we don't have to send meraglim. V'amar lahem, kvar hiftichanu Hashem. Hashem has already promised us. It's no problem. We can go. What do you want? Why are you even mentioning this? V'amru loy. So what did the people respond to Moshe? They said to him, ki ha'amim yoydim banu sha'anu ba'im. The nations know that we are coming. And everybody knew. That's why they were petrified, right? They were already promised. You are conquering Eretz Canaan. There, the Jewish people are heading in that direction. So they knew we are coming. And they knew that we have had so many miracles. So they were not so confident, as we know. So therefore, what are they doing? Ba'im lirashayisam, to inherit, to conquer them. V'heim matminim esmamainam. So they're hiding all their money. U'kishe yagiu Yisrael lo yimtzu klum. So that when the Jewish people come in, they won't find anything. So what they're thinking, the nations, if they're going to conquer our land, what can we do? If we're not strong enough, they're going to take over. But one thing we don't fagin, we're not giving them our riches as well. That we're going to hide. They don't have to take all our wealth. So meantime, they're hiding all of their wealth. So, and we're going to come in and we're not going to find it. V'nimtza divrei Hashem batal chas v'shalom. Then all the things that Hashem promised won't come true, because Hashem promised us we'll come into a beautiful land and we'll be wealthy, whatever it is. V'az va'ah. But this, so when they said this, then v'yitav hadavar be'enei Moshe. Then Moshe said, oh, that sounds like a good idea. Now I understand. So you want to send people, as he says, v'yachperu lanu es ha'aretz, they will spy. But that means, perush ha'chafirais shematminim bahem amainam. The word lachpar is also to dig. You want to see where they're hiding all of their treasures. So if you want to see that, then that's a good idea, because then when you go in, Taka, you'll know where it is. So that makes sense. That's not a negative. And therefore we say, Kevan Shashama Maishakach Nilkad Biyadam. So therefore he was almost captured by them. He thought it was a good idea. And then he says, let me just see. But then the Arachaim explains something interesting. That introduces a general concept that there's two types of spying, that you send spies. One kind of spying is to know, and we'll see the Ramban talks about this more, so I'll just mention it, that when you go, when you're going to conquer, you spy how the land is, so you know what's the best way to go in. So in other words, it's not if, but it's how you're going to go in. But then, of course, we know there's a different type of spies that people send. The regal base, who regal klali. It's a general spying. Ze yoyre ki reitzim lirais ulishayr. You want to know, you want to see, you want to estimate, you want to figure out. Im yesh koyach behem lichbaish. Do we taka have the strength to conquer these people? This type of spy is taka going to make an assessment and see how strong is the country, how strong are the people, how fortified, how much ammunition, right? How much stock of piles of ammunition they have, and then we'll know, can we conquer or not? So this is the general way, the more common in a way. And he says, like, obviously, v'hu arigol she'eskimu Yisrael l'shloach l'ragel hu l'chlolos eretz Kanaan. And the truth is that a lot of the Jewish people had in mind this way. And this was not a good way. This is not proper. V'zeyagid miyut ha'emuna, because this displays a lack, a little bit of emuna, b'Hashem u'bikush ta'ana, and actually looking for something to complain about. This second way, because if Hashem promised, they should have been secure that they can do it, right? So therefore, the fact that they're even going to check out, you know, is it possible? Are the country too strong? Do they have enough? Do they have too much ammunition? Giants, as we saw, they came back with all the different things. So this is a negative. So the Aruch Haim continues, and you have to go to the next page. The next page. If you turn your next page, you'll see on the bottom the Aruch Haim continues. V'laze amru b'medrash, and this is what it says, that the Medrash tells us, shalai rotza maishah. Achen nischak mai b'mirma. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want until they came with trickery. This was the problem. Initially, as we said, they came with this whole idea, oh, we just want to know where they're hiding everything. But the truth is that wasn't their real intention. Behind that, their intention was, we're afraid. We're not sure. Maybe it's too much. Maybe it's taka too difficult. And therefore, what they did is, that, and they knew Moshe wouldn't buy that, so they came in a trick way. And that's why they presented this excuse that we want to know where everything is hidden, but really, they were lacking in emunah. This is what the Aruch Chaim says. This was really the problem. And therefore he says that they v'sholach amragum v'tachazek ki ein rab b'davar. That's why they said to Moshe, let's just send so we can know where. And that's why Yeshua also sent. Right? He also sent. He sent it for the reason to know how to conquer. Where's the best place to go in first, right? Which city maybe? And interestingly, even with Yeshua, when Yeshua sent Meraglim, I don't know if you ever learned Yeshua, you see that Yeshua didn't actually conquer the entire Eretz Yisrael. There were certain cities that he didn't go into because they were perhaps too strong. Only up until the time of David HaMelech, right? That's when he captured Yerushalayim, right? As we know. So there are, it does make sense. There's nothing wrong with picking and choosing which place you're going to go first, which place you're going to go second, and then strengthen yourself, and then you can do more, right? That's not a problem. So that's what Moshe thought, and that's actually what Yeshua did, and that was fine. But as we say, that's why he answers, that's why Hashem says to Moshe, Shlach lecha, Perush, l'masha ata soiver hashlichus. Send it the way you think. In other words, with the intention that you think they're having. But the truth is, unfortunately, they don't have the right intention. And that's the problem. And that's what he was trying to, Hashem was trying to hint to Moshe that they're presenting one thing, and what they're presenting is true, that it's a good idea. Find out where everything will be hidden. But really underneath it, maybe they have negative intention. And if Moshe would have scratched it more and more, perhaps he could have, discerned and like divided and calmed them down from the other, from the wrong intention. And maybe they would have gone in only with the right intention, and then things might have turned out in a better way. There's another beautiful way that the Aruch Chaim explains it. That's on the next page. If you turn it, this is a very important one. This is fascinating because this is a very, very big question. So on the next page, if you see, I bracketed the word oy. Do you see that one? In the middle of the page is an oy over there. Oy efshar. Do you see? In the middle of the Aruch Chaim on the next page. It has like a line there in the middle. It says resh yotes on top and it's oy efshar. Yes, so he says like this. Very interesting thing. Because again, the question still comes up. If these people are so righteous, how did they go so wrong so quickly, right? How did they come back so afraid? So this is such a powerful idea. We have a very interesting concept in Torah, we say, and we do this all the time. There's a concept called Shliach Shel Adam Kemaisei, that the messenger of a person is like the person themselves. One example would be in Torah, I mean, it's a funny example that's given, but when you give a divorce, you know, you have to actually, but you can actually send a messenger. You don't have to be the one. But a simpler example, we know that we can, let's say we stand and somebody makes kiddush, right? And we listen. So he's our shliach. Or you can send somebody with money of tzedakah and they become your shliach. And you are still considered as if you are doing the mitzvah because you're entrusting them. And they become like your representative, but it's much deeper. It's like they're so connected and they represent you and you are considered having done the mitzvah. It's almost like the shliach loses his own identity and takes on yours. He's doing it for you. Now, what happened over here? Something incredible. These representatives were the shluchim of the Jewish people. They each one represented their tribe. What happened? They were great people. They were righteous. They were tzaddikim and they had good intention. But once they became the representative of the tribe to go in and spy the land and the people had negative intention, it affected them and their hearts changed. Such a sad thing, but it's a very powerful idea and it's quite incredible. So they were very righteous, but once they became the representatives and they were representing people who weren't good, it affected them. He says, it's a very strong language. He says,
V'yoled by tchuna ra, and actually gave birth to a negative trait. Mashalai haisa by kaidem, what wasn't there before. Quite interesting, means that it's a very interesting thing. Firstly, choose your representative well, and you make sure you have the right intention. Both things have to happen, right? When you want to do something in a complete way, be very, very careful, because both can have an effect on each other. Quite a powerful thing. And that's why, even though they were tzaddikim, unfortunately, it ended up not in a good way. So quite a strong thing. Okay. And that's why, okay, as we say, so that's what Hashem said to Moshe. The Aruch Haim says his message was, try and send them according to what you think. But Moshe, unfortunately, well, he wasn't meant to, obviously, didn't see what was really happening, because the Jewish people, he had a greater estimation of what they were than what they actually were. He thought they were better than they were, in a sense. He couldn't see their lack of bitach, and he couldn't even understand that that's possible. So he didn't even imagine that this was what was going through some of the minds of the Jewish people. Oh, the big question, Yeshua. Riva, keep it. We're going to do that next week in Mirtz Hashem. That's a good, excellent question. Yes, and we'll get there. We will. In Mirtz Hashem, I have a beautiful idea. There's many, but I have one very beautiful idea to explain that. Now, I'm just thinking which page to go, because we have to go back. You know, we'll do the Kliyokar and then the Ramban. Okay, so now, sorry, go back to the second of these commentary pages. So it's on the top. It says, Resh Yud Zayin. I'll show you. Resh Yud Zayin. Backwards, sorry. Resh Yud Zayin, and it's on the bottom of the page. And this one, it doesn't have a mark, no. So, but it says Kliyokar on the bottom of page. Resh Yud Zayin. Do you know what, Daisy? I think it's page number 5. Go to page number 5 of the booklet. I'm almost sure. So 5 or 6. Let's see if I can count here.
Yes,
I
got.
Yeah. So,
Resh,
one.
Two,
so go to the next one then. 1, 2, 3. No, keep going then. 1, 2.
Sorry.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, page number 6. It's page number 6 of your booklet. It doesn't have a number, but that's the number if you count. And it's on the bottom, Kliyokar. Are you. Oy vey, Zmir. That's wonderful. Sorry. Oy vey. Turn it upside down, inside out. Resh Yud Zayin. Okay, so sorry about that. Ay ay ay, Rona. Okay, you see better. Sit and listen, eh? Okay, so let's see how the Kliyokar. He gives a few very nice insights into what this means. So Shlach Lecha Anoshim Lefi Sha'amru Yisrael, because the Jewish people said Nishlacha Lefaneinu Anoshim, let us send before us men V'yachbru Lanu Asaretz, and we will spy out the land. Lanu Hainu Lehana Aseinu V'letay V'aseinu, right? For our pleasure, for our good, for what our benefit, so to speak. So what does Hashem respond to Moshe? Shlach lecha, send for yourself. What does that mean? V'loy lahem, and not for them. Why? Ki lecha dafka yiyash lichus lahana'a ulitayva, aval lahem lo yiyya litayvasam. They think, they're asking for a representative that they will gain, it will be to their benefit, whichever way you want to look at it, even in a good way, because now they'll know how to spy, how to conquer the land, whatever it may be. Hashem says to Moshe, I'll tell you what, they're not going to benefit. You know who's going to benefit from this story? You will benefit. How will Moshe benefit? So something interesting. So he says, Ki al yidei shlicha zeh, because through this whole story of sending these meraglim, nigzira aleihem misa, right? What happened? Hashem decreed that they're all going to die in the desert, right? And that means they're going to wander for 40 years in the desert, yes? They were supposed to enter the land now, but now we're stalling the whole process. 40 years longer, a detour, how do you say it? It's a delay. Imagine we complain. They had a 40-year delay, right? Stop. Plane not going. You can't go anywhere. Who benefits from that? So think about something amazing. He says that Moshe benefited because Moshe lived an extra 40 years. Why? thinks very interesting, because it says like this, because we don't think of it this way, but the fact is, ki kvar nigzar al Moshe, was already decreed on Moshe, he was already predestined, shalayira es ha'asoy l'malchei shiva umes, that he will not be the one to take the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, he will not see them conquer the seven nations, the seven kings, he wasn't going to be the one, Yeshua was supposed to be the one, so Moshe was destined to die in the desert. Had they gone in now, he would have had to die now. Now that they did this whole story, 40 more years they're wandering in the desert, Moshe has 40 extra years. So that's what licha means. Hashem says to Moshe, it's for your benefit. You're going to gain. Interesting. Such an interesting thing. This is one way. Just an interesting, fascinating thing. Another thing, I know it doesn't sound so good, right? Moshe's not so happy with it. But Hashem is happy. Let's see the next one. The Kliyaker gives another explanation. He says, Davar acher, shlach lecha anashim. Send for yourself men. He says, Dafka ato techze beruach ha-kodesh. You, he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you can see with your divine inspiration, because Moshe has excellent eyes. We're not talking about physical, we're talking spiritual eyes. He can really see. What does he see? He sees im ha-anoshim ksheirim. If they're good people, lazeh ha-shlichas for this mess, for this purpose, for this whole whole thing that they're going to go in for this message. Ki raiv ha'aylam tayim ba'anoshim. Because most people make mistakes with other people and are fooled by other people. Chanifim hamarim esatzmam ksheirim v'loifshim adora seyar leman kichesh. Most of us, well, I guess that's how Hashem made the world, we can be very easily lied to. Yeah, exactly. If somebody comes and they act in a, I don't know what the word is, but you know, they're very, I forget always the English word, but they, you know, they're not what they're not on the inside what they are on the outside, right? So they flaunt, they act in a different way than they are. They flatter you, but really?
They're scammers.
Exactly. That's a very good word. Scammers, that's the word. And we scam a little bit, right? We act a certain way outside, but we don't feel that inside. Well, sometimes we try. That's not a bad thing. If we're trying, that's okay. But some of us know. Some people are dafka, just put up a front of a certain way. But really, as you say, they're just scamming. They're not like that at all. And they don't have your good intention. That's why scam is a good word, Take. Because they don't mean anything about you. It's only about them. It's all about them. So Hashem says to Moshe, but you can see through. You have very good vision. You sense what a person truly is. So therefore, shlach lecha. That's why you choose, and you will be able to choose the correct one. Dafka oisan shehem be'einecha anashim. The ones that are in your eyes, take men, chashuvim. Right, important and valued. Not the ones that other people think are good. As we know, the way the world rates people is not the way Torah rates people, right? Not those kinds. This is a very important expression. Their inside is not like their outside, right? Could be, but you will be able to see through. Now the Kliyakar says it the other way around. So the truth is, Moshe had better vision than other human beings. But Hashem says to Moshe, you're still a human being at the end of the day. So, send for yourself men means to imply that to you, they look taki good, right? Because you still have eyes of flesh, and it looks like, you know, and you can only really see to a certain point, right? Kasheru sham. And not only could you only see to a certain point, but this is also important. Even though Moshe has better vision than most other people, he can only see what's in the present tense. So if the person presents themselves now, and they are sincere and good now, so Moshe thinks, well, they're the right one for the job. They're good. But Hashem says, that's lecha. But my gift is that I can see in the future. You can only see in the present. So even though the people are good now, who knows what they're going to do tomorrow? That's the problem. And that's what Hashem is, well, what could you do? Moshe had no choice, but aval be'enai einan anashim ksheirim, right? Ki ani roye sheshtei ri'yes. Because I see two sides, Hashem says. Behaive uba aser, I see the present and the future. Ki asidin li'yes be'etzara, and I see that these men that look good, and they are good, they're genuinely good now, unfortunately, they will end up doing something bad, and that you don't see. That's why it says lecha. Okay, another interesting one. The other one it says is interesting one. He says that, remember, as we said, this story came after the story of Miriam. And he says like this. This is interesting because the Aruch Chaim has two, the Kli Yakar has two ways. He says, choose shlach lecha anoshim. First, the Kli Yakar says, choose men. Why men? Because women, we know, talk a lot. Right? We know the famous thing the Gemara says, that there were 10 measures of speech given to the world. It's a very derogatory thing nowadays. People get upset. But 10 measures of speech, 9 went to women and 1 went to men. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. The truth is, you don't have to explain it away. It could be a negative. It's true. But women are better communicators. That's the fact. We do. We communicate. We need to talk. We like to talk. And it's all not a negative thing necessarily. What? I know. Anyways, the point is the Kli Yakar says, choose men. Men will do a better job. But then he says something else, the opposite way. Then he says, no. Shlach lecha noshim, he says, you think you should send men. But I think, no, woman is a better idea. So it's exactly the opposite way. Why? So men maybe don't speak as much Lashon Hara because they don't speak as much. But women have a different advantage. And what was the advantage that women have? And this is a very beautiful, famous Kli Yakar. He says, because like this, Ha'anoshim ha'yusoynim es ha'aretz. The men didn't like the land of Israel. Why? V'amru, and they said, Nitna Roish, let's go, let's turn around. V'nashuva Mitzrayma, let's go back to Egypt. The woman loved Eretz Israel. Women always loved Eretz Israel. So it says women have a special love for the land of Israel. And partially because it says, interestingly, that women are more kind-hearted by nature. And in Eretz Israel, we have the mitzvahs. As we know, remember we said with the farming, leaving the corners, giving all the food to the poor. There's a lot more tzedakah given in Eretz Yisrael that are mandated, right? Out of Eretz Yisrael, you have to give a tenth of your earnings. But in Eretz Yisrael, there's a lot more because every field, you have to leave so much for the poor people. So there's a lot more. So the women actually love that and the men resent it. They feel, I've worked so hard. This is how much I've earned. It's mine and we need to enjoy it in our family. So the men resent the giving away more than the women. And therefore the Kli Yakar says, I think, he says, Al Kain, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lefi Daiti, Sha'ani Raya Ba'asid, I see in the future, Haya Yaiser Taiv, Lishloyach Noshim, better to send women, HaMechavavais Es Ha'aretz, who love the land, who treasure the land, Ki Lo Yisaper Bugnusa, they will not say anything negative. But you think that men are better, so that's why you're sending men, but I think it's better if you send women. And another way we know a fact how the Torah displays that women treasure the land was the story of the Bnei Tzlafchad, right? That comes later, where those girls wanted specifically a portion in the land of Israel, and that's how we learn all of the laws of inheritance of the land through the Bnei Tzlafchad, because they treasure the land. This is one display where the woman, but that's what the Kli Yakar says. So you say men, I say woman. So either way you want to look at it. Okay, that's all the different beautiful views that he has. I just want to see one more, just the Ramban. And next week we'll address Riva's big question. And we'll see why Moshe Davin specifically for Yeshua and a few other interesting insights. But I just want to show you one more thing, the Ramban. So the Ramban says something interesting because he also asks the same questions. What's so bad? You know, the fact remains that when you enter a land, you're supposed to do it naturally, right? Hashem wants us to do all our mitzvahs naturally. He wants us to live, right? In other words, we can't sit back and say, Hashem, please provide us with a cooked Shabbos meal, and we're not going to do the work. It's not going to happen. It just doesn't, right? That's the way it is. Hashem says, make a keli, make a vessel, do your work, go according to nature, or you can't live a life, a dangerous life, and expect to be safe. You can't live an unhealthy life and expect to be healthy. That's just not the way it is. And we're not allowed, we say, Ein soimchen al anes. We're not permitted to rely on miracles. A Jew is not supposed to live their life in a way at the edge, right? Walking at the edge the whole time and expecting Hashem to do miracles. So what's so bad about what they did? They're doing the right thing, sending in spies to see how to conquer the land. That's what it seems, What's so bad? So the Ramban says an interesting thing. As he said, I'll just read you one line. He says, Al kein ha-yotayv b'ine Moshe. That's why Taki was good in the eyes of Moshe. Ki ha-kosov lo yismeich b'chol ma'isav al anes. Because we don't want to rely on miracles. So when they came to Moshe and they said, send people, he thought, yeah, they're right. We got it. We have to do it. And that's Taki why. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do when he sent the spies? He Taki asked them to go from the south. Why from the south? Because for a few reasons, interesting, it says that in the south, it seems to have been maybe there were fortified places and it wasn't so good the land. And he wanted them to see there first exactly how, like, they should look at with their eyes, which parts we can go into, which is the best direction to come into. Maybe we should leave this city alone. Maybe this city is too fortified. So he was giving them advice because this was the natural way that a nation enters another country if you want to invade it. It makes sense. This is the normal thing. And that's why Yeshua did the same. But I want to read you something very powerful. But Moshe had something else in mind. And this was very, very interesting. And that's why, I don't know if we read those psukim. Next week we will reread. When Moshe Rabbeinu sends the Jewish people, sends these spies, he specifies, look for different things, right? Is it a good land? Is it a fatty land? How are the fruits? How are the people? It almost sounds like he's misleading them, because almost it would look like he's leading them to see all the things that are so miraculous, and that actually is what scared them a little bit. The fruits were so big, they were giants, right? So they got more scared. But what was Moshe's intention? Moshe knew that the land was a good land, right? He knew it. So when he said, is it a good land or not? He knew it was a good land. It wasn't a question. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like if you send your child into a store and you say, and you say, get me, I don't know, a dozen eggs. You know that there's a dozen eggs there, right? That's why you send the child, because you know it's there. Or get me this and this color thing, and you know it's there. It's not like you're asking them to look if it's there or not, but you know it's there, and you know that the child will be excited because they're going to be able to buy it. So he says, El Eretz Tayrein, Hashem promised it was a good land. Bavor Kain Amar Lehem Sheyitnu Leiv Ladas Kain. What Moshe Rabbeinu was saying was pay attention. Look carefully and notice, because what could happen when you go into a country with very strong people, you might not notice, you might get overwhelmed by the strength of the people and not notice the beauty of the land. And Moshe wanted them to take note and notice. And why is that? So that when they come back, they will tell the people, and the people will be so excited. And what that will do is, that will overshadow the challenges. There are very big giants, the people are strong, but the land is so beautiful, it's worth it. They'll get so excited, their adrenaline will go so high, and they'll say, we can do it, we'll do it, it's worth it, it's worth the challenge. So that's why the Ramban says Moshe wanted them to specifically look at all the details of the land. And I'll just end with this thought that we'll develop more next week. Sometimes, as we start our day, and it does look like it's full of challenges, the best way is to, yes, we have to be realistic, right? Can't rely on miracles, so you have to take stock and know what you're going to face. But at the same time, look at the wonderful good things that you have, and look at the wonderful good things that you might be able to achieve. And even if it's a small thing, I'm going to meet somebody nice, I'm going to see some, and that should give you a boost that can help you to overcome those challenges, make it worthwhile to face the difficulty that you're facing. This is one way. So this is what the Ramban says. Obviously, we still don't understand where they went wrong, but they went wrong, we know, because they didn't trust enough. But that was the problem. Unfortunately, they needed to trust more. But really, Moshe Rabbeinu highlights that they should look for the good of the land, because he wants them to be injected with that incredible excitement and enthusiasm that they should be able to go in. They should want to go in. And sometimes, as we know the famous line, where there's a will, there's a way, even when there isn't a way. All of a sudden, there becomes a way, right? And that's what Moshe wanted. So this is this is part of the reason why he did that. Okay.